Okay, today we're going to learn of David Jalal Ramafur has yard site today for his sister. Rav David Jalal Ramafur has yard site for his sister. Her name is Mukhtaram Chana Bas Shokari. Aleh HaShalai, may her neshama have an aliyah and licht of Gan Eden in the zuchus of the learning. Okay, let's continue where we left off. Someone reminded me of a joke about being. I'll start with a short joke because someone reminded me of catching a fraud. There was once a guy, and he wanted to make some money in shul. So he saw the collectors. He saw these guys. They go collecting, right? What a business! You don't got to do anything. You just got to go around with your hand out. You get some money. So he goes around to collect a couple of bucks. And no one's giving him anything. He gets a few pennies, this, that, a few nickels, dimes. And this other guy is making a lot of money, this other guy. So he asks someone, tell me, what should I do to, you know, to make... So he says, you have to say that you're a yosem. You're a yosem. Just say, yosem, tzedakah for a yosem. So he goes around the shul the next day, tzedakah for a yosem, tzedakah for a yosem. And sure enough, the money comes in. He's another guy. Another guy is making more money. So what is he doing? So he hears that he's saying that he's an enikel in the Baal Shem Tov, enikel of the Baal Shem Tov. So he goes around saying, "Please give me tzedakah for an enikel of the Baal Shem Tov," and money, even more money comes in. Then he thinks, I'll combine the two together. So he says, tzedakah for a yosayim, that's an enikel of the Baal Shem Tov. And money comes in, big money comes in. Then he hears in shul, a guy is going around, and he's saying, give money for a ger tzedek, a ger tzedek, a ger tzedek. And people, let me try that. So he goes around and collecting. Please give money for a yosoim. That's about that's a ger tzedek. He says, I don't have any parents. I'm a yosoim and I'm a ger tzedek. He puts the two together. And then he says, you know, let me put them all together. Give tzedakah for a yosoim. Who is a ger tzedek? Who is the enikel of the Baal Shem Tov? And no one gives him a penny. You understand why no one gives him a penny? Because if he is a ger tzedek, there is no way he's an enikel of the Baal Shem Tov. So the fraud was discovered. Okay, so sometimes when you try too hard, you do yourself in. Now with that introduction, let's continue where we left off yesterday. It's very, very, very interesting, I would say bizarre and relevant in Yanim on page Halacha Resh Yud. Resh Yud is on page Kuf Pei Tes. Kuf Pei Tes. Kuf Pei Tes. The last line on the page, Halacha Resh Yud. Imre Isa. The Sefer Chasidim says, if you ever witness in your life the following, a Talmud Chacham Sheherich Yamim, a Talmud Chacham that lives very long, Arichas Yamim, Dal Lecha, Shoisif Dikdukim Al Chaveroi, do you know why he lives a long life? It's not because he has a better diet. It's not because he goes to the gym. It's not because he watches his weight. It's because he does Devarim, he does things, Dikdukim Al Chaveroi, Devarim She'enim Kisuvim Batayra. He's machmir on himself to do in yonim matters in halacha that he goes the extra mile. He's medactic in halacha to do things that are not technically required, but are praiseworthy things in Chazal. And the Gemara there gives a whole long list of examples of why different Amoraim v'Tanoim, they lived very long lives. And one of them is because they got up very early to davening. They were the first ones to come to shul every single day. They stayed out that late, and they did this, they did that. And all of the examples that are given in the Gemara, you're not going to find them in Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't say they're not part of the Tayag Mitzvah. It doesn't say anywhere in the Tayag Mitzvahs that you should come, you should be from the Asar Rishonim. It doesn't say. It's not part of the Tayag Mitzvahs. In fact, there's no one, it's not a mitzvah altogether to daven with the minyan. the minyan to daven. To daven with the mitzvah is not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. So to go and to come be from the asara rishonim and not to be the first one to leave davening, not to walk out in milch hazaras hashatz to go somewhere. It doesn't say that in the Torah. It doesn't even say it in Shulchan Aruch. It's called dikduke soifrim, mylois, beautiful midois that are found in the Gemara. The Gemara, the Amoraim, they praise people who did these things and they attributed their longevity to these exceptional qualities. That's why people have arichas yamin. Not because they don't smoke, not because they don't have salt, not because they go swimming and they go to the gym. It's because they're medactic in the both together, obviously. Obviously, today we live in a different world, right? Today we have to be very, very careful. That goes without saying. But even with all of the things that we do to protect ourselves, derech hateva, there, we know that there's more that can be done in the spiritual world to boost our health and longevity. And that is what the Sefer Chasidim says. Don't take for granted, don't underestimate, underappreciate the milos that Chazal have given us to be zoiche to arichas yomim. And specifically, coming early every single day to davening. I read this in a few places. If you take note, today we don't have this. And another thing that has become extinct in our generation, and that is a shamash of a Beis HaKnesses. Today there's almost no such thing today as a shamash. A person who is called a sexton, they call him a reverend. Remember in the Young Yisrael of Flapush? It was the reverend. The reverend, what was his name? I forgot his name. He was the real Friedman, Reverend Friedman.
Friedman started Shishul. He was a rabbi. He did both.
It depends what the role is. But they used to be back in Golos, before we came to America, and even in America in the early years, there was a position in the Beis HaKnesses, in a real shul, as a shamash. What they call in English, the sexton, the reverend. And if you study the life, someone once, the Sfarim, they write this, study all of the shuls and study these people, and you will discover these people were zeicher to arichas yamim. Reverend Friedman, how old was he when he was nifter? Way up there, right? Way up there, probably almost 100 years old. Okay, and I remember Mr. Stein in the Young Israel of Avenue J. He was also way up there. Way up there. They come early to davening. They open up the shul. They open up the shul. And Chazal say, if you're from the first people, from the Asar Rishonim, every single day, Bamerach Yamim, Loi Kidmani Adam, the Gemara there says, a person never came to shul before me. I was always the first person to come to shul. It's proven. It's proven. Go look at the Shamashim of the old Shamashim. All of their contemporaries, they died much, much younger. And they're 100 years old and they're going strong.
Early minyan, you have people like that. The older people, young people that come, they won't be on time. The older people generally.
There's a certain thing. Don't underappreciate what Chazal say. And the Sefer Chasidim is telling us, look, if you see a person that's 100 years old, and you want to know why, what did he do? Is it because he took care of his health better? Sometimes you'll say yes, but many times they'll tell you, you'll watch what they eat. These 300 years old, you watch what they eat. Watch them by the Kiddush. They eat the same food everyone else is eating. They're eating the same chazarai, everyone else. They drink, and they're doing whatever, and yet they're not at the doctor's office every single day. What's pshat? There's something more in this world that we don't know about in the spiritual world, and that's what the Sefer Chasidim tells us about. Next, Reshit Aleph. Imre Isa, Chasidim Shaloikim, Chasidim are being smitten. What does that mean? In other words, they're being abused. Okay, we'll translate this in our generation. If you see people who are good people, good pious people, who are abused, all different types of abuse, verbal abuse, there's physical abuse, sexual abuse, who knows, whatever you want to go say, they're being abused. Shaloikim, Dalacha, Shahoylechem, Levakesh, Alachem, Shlo Yilku, it's because they did not make a macha. Because they were aware other people were being abused. They saw their own eyes. At one point in their life, they witnessed abuse and they were silent. And therefore, now it's payday. Now they suffer that same abuse. Or they have friends that they should not be associated with. Oy, Dorim Bi'ir Imohem, they're partners with them. In other words, they're in bad company. It's not good to be in bad company. Next, let's say you see a situation where taxes go up. Real estate taxes over here in New York are going through the roof. Okay, it's zelo fair. Okay, taxes, real estate, all these taxes, they're really going through, is it really need the money? Or they're really just taking advantage? What is going on? The poor people who don't make that much money, and they really are being, they're being wiped out. So what's going on? In Risa Melech, you see a king, Vishultoin, a ruler, Shalokeh Harbe Masme Akohol. Now, this is obviously, people can get very upset about this, but what there are entitlement, there are programs, and that are abusing the system. That is a given. Going without civil, who go and milk the system out. That's a horrible avera. But you have to also understand that there's a pasuk in the Torah that says, people forget this, ki lo yechtal evyoin mikarev haaretz. Many people, when they see collectors come, shnoris come, and they right away attack them. Why don't you get a job? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? What's going on over here? How come you're coming over here every single day? This shnar, that shnar, this. And the whole system stinks. And who's responsible? It's the rabbis. They did this, they did this. Yeah, you're right. You're definitely right. The system really is, it stinks. There's no question about that. But you have to also understand, ki lo yechdal evyoin mikerev haaretz. Just like there's a pasuk that says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher hotzeicha mi'eretz Mitzrayim, I am your God who took you out of Egypt, and you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. In the same Torah, it says, "Poor." It's a reality in this world. Ki lo yechdal evyoin mikerev haaretz. It will never cease to exist. Don't. That's Hashem's response to communism and socialism. It's ki lo yechdal evyoin. The whole goal of communism and socialism is there should not be any collectors. It failed because everyone became a collector, right? Everyone became poor. Okay, instead of making everyone have parnasa, it's been proven to be a failure because everyone is poor. Okay, but besides that, the whole premise. Forget about the result. Let's not focus on the premise. Let's focus on the results. Let's focus on your noble intent. You're trying to create a system where nobody's going to be poor. Hashem says, I'm sorry to tell you, it's not going to work. That's not the way the world goes around. Ki lo yechdal evyoin mikerev haaretz. So don't go and abuse the poor people that come collecting. It's a problem. It's a big problem. It's out of hand. And there's got to be a better way. But if a person finds himself to be desperate, it's not time to give him a musa shmuz. The musa shmuz, you know, the joke is, so a guy comes collecting, and a rabbi puts his hand around him and says, and gives him a dollar, and he says, you know, let me give you some advice. Let me tell you, you know, what you should do with your life. You should go back there to Israel. You should get a job. You should maybe get some training in this field. I have different ideas. There are different things that you can do. Let me help you. Let me have a conversation. The guy says to him, for $1, you're not entitled to give me advice. You want to give me advice? Give me $100. Then I'll sit down with you. You'll tell me your eitzes, the solution to all of my problems and all of my family's problems. For $1, you're not entitled to tell me how to solve the world's problems. If you're giving $1 to someone, you're not entitled to give him musa shmuz. That is dvarim pshutim ad moedah. Novominsky Rebbe, he once said this. He said this 2 years ago by the Aguda convention, Mitzvah Shabbos, about the collectors, the Rachmana Litzlan, how out of hand it is, and the problems that we have, and we have to do something. But Derech Agav, he says, but don't abuse them. Just because it's a problem doesn't mean you have to torment them and mock them and make the problem even worse. So he says over here, if you see that they're taking too much taxes, l'fisha hoyul alcohol l'rachem al ho'aniyim. There is such a thing as poor people. It's part of the world. And money has to be collected and raised and given to them. Not everyone is going to be able to help themselves. no matter how smart they are, it's a curse. It's a curse of this world. Gilgul ha-choyzer ba-oylam. Loy la-chachomim lechem. The most brilliant people who have the biggest PhDs, some of them died penniless. Not a penny to their name. They're responsible for the technology that exists in this world, and we live with their chokhma, and yet their family are paupers. Loy lachachomim lechem. The Kohol has an obligation to look at these people and to recognize they're in a matzav where we do not know why it happened to them. It could happen to anybody, to be poor, and we have an obligation to help them and to give them money. And if you don't help them and give them money, then Rachmana Litzlan, that is why taxes go up. Read my lips. I will not raise taxes. Bush Senior, read my lips. I will not raise taxes. So why did he lose his money? The reason why did he lose re-election? It's not because of read my lips. It's because we in this country obviously did not give enough to the poor. I mean, how can I say that, right? It's crazy, outrageous to say that. I don't know. I don't know the inner works of government. But it was obviously, according to the Sefer Chassidus, if he was alive, he's saying it was a tevia that we did not do enough. If we did not do enough, then the tax would not have been raised. That's what he says. I'm not making this up. You don't accept this? It's obviously, it has to be taken with a grain of salt. Because in America, it's gone out of hand where, you know, entitlements are a little bit over the top. But there's definitely a grain of truth in what he says. Yeah.
You say every day at the end of benching, he ate ma'achzol reyov. That people who fear Hashem will not be at loss. So the Chofetz Chaim, yes, you see there's so many Yireim who are poor. He says no, but in their eyes they're not poor. They accept
some people, poor. Unfortunately, but some people they'll tell you they are poor. Today, people collecting will tell you I am very poor. And the Tsar, it's very humiliating. It's very humiliating. I couldn't last a day going doing this. I don't know. You think they want to be like this? There are some people that you really wonder. It's like a sickness. They're missing a screw. They're lacking the shame. You wonder. You really wonder sometimes.
It's just a way for them to make
you
money.
Just wonder. You wonder, like, why aren't you embarrassed to be doing this? All right, I don't know. I don't know what to say. Lefi shahay lahakol hakol rachma leonim velit lechem tzarchem v'kedesh shelo lielchul be'olam lekabit shelo yirchaku minish shoysehem umiz. And they should not have to go and travel the world to go and raise a couple of bucks. Beloy nasnu hakol lo aniim karoy. The kohol did not properly provide for them. Oy machlekes b'neim, or there is machlekes between people. There's another reason why taxes go up. It's because there is sinas chinam. Oy bittel tefilois. Wow, that's scary. Davening is not the way it should be. Uchsev, it says in the pasuk, this is the class, this is the pasuk of the Teichacha, the pasuk, which if they would have been in the Torah bold and underlines and double underlines and small caps and all caps, this pasuk would have been in all caps, bold, underlined, and in a different font size. And what's the pasuk? Tachas, the reason why. The Teichecha Rachmana Litzlan comes upon Klal Yisrael because Asher lo yavadita Hashem Elokecha meiroiv kol. B'simcha uvituv, right? He leaves out those critical words. That's pretty sick. B'simcha uvituv levav, with joy, and uvituv levav with, what does that mean? The very whole shah, what that means exactly, with the goodness of the heart, meiroiv kol, when Hashem has blessed you with an abundance of everything. If a person is blessed with an abundance of koil, it is your duty to serve Hashem with simcha and tuv levav, which seemingly means to give. A tuv levav, there are two different expressions. Simcha means don't complain. If you have what to eat, you have where to live, and you're not homeless, and you're not going on the subway begging people to give you food. People on the subway, they have all these, my sister always tells me the stories of going on the subway, or the different bizarre types of collectors that come on the subway. So a lot of them don't ask for money. They say, can someone give me something to eat?
Yes.
Very common on the subway. They don't ask you for money. Someone have in your bag a leftover sandwich, half a can of Coca-Cola you have over here. Does someone have, just give me something to eat? And people give them candy bar, they give them, take out some M&M's, they have the M&M's, and they take it and they're quiet. And they take it, thank you very much, and they walk off the train and they just eat. They're happy. They're happy they have what to eat. Rahman Wutzlan. People are like that. So if Baruch Hashem person is not in that matziv, there's nothing to complain about. I know a person who's very, very poor. And I wasn't me who said to him, but someone said to him, he's an Eretz Yisrael, someone that I know very well, and he's very, very poor. And someone actually said to him, like, how do you do it? So he said, there are people here that have a lot less than me. A lot less than me. You think that's bad by me? There are people. And therefore, it's right, but I'm thankful that at least I'm not as bad as what I know about other people suffer. So a person has nothing to complain about. And then what does it say next? Uvituv levav. Generosity of spirit. What generosity of spirit? You have $1 million in the bank. What's the money doing there? Give it to tzedakah. Easy for me to say, right? Right? I know someone, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, many years, 10 years ago, someone, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, a big gevir. I know who the big this person is. Big gevir. He's a multi-millionaire. He has more money than you can imagine. And the stock crashed. There was a stock market crash those years ago, whatever it was. And he lost in the stock market an enormous amount of money. Talking about tens of millions of dollars. And this person gave to Tzedakah astronomical amounts of money. A very good person. He went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky and he said to him, how could it be? V'chanuni na bezois. Omar Hashem Elohim. V'chanuni na bezois. You give Tzedakah, Hashem takes care of you. I had in the bank, he said to him, probably, what I had in the bank, a face, $50 million. Poof, gone. How could it be? So Rav Chaim Kanievsky said to him, what? You had in the bank $50 million? Why wasn't the money already given out? Who keeps in the bank that kind of money? $50 million? That money was only meant to be given to Tzedakah. What was the money doing there to begin with? As soon as the money came into the bank, that kind of money, and you don't need it to live for your life and yourself, you have plenty to live on. The money should right away have been given away to Tzedakah. And now the stock market crashed and all the money went poof into the sky. Well, it's not a question of chnun or bezos. The money should have already been distributed to the poor people. Does Rav Chaim know about economics? Does he know about the way people, they put away money in the bank? I have no clue. But just the statement alone is very jarring and makes you look at wealth with a very different look. Whether we accept what he said to be right or wrong, but he has a point. He has a point. What is all the money doing there to begin with? It says, "Asher simcha uvituv levav," generosity of spirit. The real big gevir, and they always say it's not their money. Avram Fruchtin, Chaim Berlin, he always says public all the time. He says the first $1 million. He says, "Koichi v'oitzim yadi." It was my money. I sweated. I was scared. I couldn't sleep nights. These very risky, shady business deals. It was very, very scary. And I worked, worried. The first $1 million, koichi v'oitzim yadi. But everything after that, he says, I can tell you, it's not my money. It's mamish, not my money. And mamish, see, it's just money that's, I'm a custodian of someone else's money. That's how he felt about his wealth. The first million, yeah. I'm not giving this away to anyone. No one's getting this. This is mine. I work for it. But then when it just things took off, he was successful and it's different. It's not mine. I don't feel it. I feel it's Hashem just put this here in order to channel it here for this organization, that organization, in order to help people. It's a very powerful statement. And people who are very big gevirim, they all say come out the same. You listen carefully when they talk about it, they say the same idea. So if money is not being given, the government will take it. The government will take it for themselves. This is the Sefer Chassidim. These are dvarim, really dvarim pshutim. I always say, not everything that's in a book, you need a book to say. Okay, there are certain things that are so simple, they don't need a book, but it's refreshing sometimes to see how the Gedolei Yisrael, how they write it up. Further, If you don't give, if you don't serve Hashem out of joy and tov levav, generosity of spirit, when you have an abundance of everything, Rachmana litzlan, the pasuk includes v'avadita es oyevecha. The end is you're working for the government. How many times have we heard that statement? That until this day of the year, taxes, what tax bracket are you in? So you, how much of the year are you working for Uncle Sam?
Right.
So the Ribbono Shel Olam was ahead of his time. He said, you're going to work for this Uncle Sam. V'avadita, you're going to work es oyevecha, your enemy. In other words, because most of your money is going to taxes. It's not going into your pocket. It's not going to service your family, yourself, and the Jewish community. Okay, next halacha. Be'ir. Achas ha'isakil gedele v'hoyu ashirim. There were many wealthy people. U'machmas roiv osham hoyu miskoim. Another problem. Vayishman yishurun vayivot. With money comes arrogance. It comes with the territory. Okay, it comes with the territory. And you see it all the time. Vayu ashirim u'machmas roiv osham hoyu miskoim v'lo hoyu iskim b'toyer ki deboy. They were not oisek in Torah. If you don't do teshuvah from your arrogance, then you know what's going to happen? I guarantee you, the whole city will be destroyed. Wow, that's scary stuff, huh? As long as he was alive, when this tzaddik died, he locked up the city. And he appointed a shlish, means an officer. Al pi hashavua. Made them pay a third. All of their wealth, it seems, he made them give away a third of their wealth. He made a demand. Taxes. 33% of your income goes to the government. So everyone went and they gave money to the government. And he said to everyone, I want you to swear that you paid me 33% of your income. And they all took a shvua. Then, then came an investigation, and they hid money in a Swiss bank account, or they sent it into cryptocurrency, untraceable. And they discovered, as it was a charade, they made a false shavua, that they gave the king a third of their revenue, when in truth is, of their gross of their profits. And the truth is, there was really more, and the more was hidden away in accounts that are not traceable. And this was uncovered. You Jews are a bunch of liars. You took a false shavua. He took them in captivity. Hashem fulfills the word of a servant. And the truth is, who did this happen to? Sidoim va'amoira. Sidoim va'amoira, they were rich, they had more money than they can imagine. That's why Lot decided to go. Ki hishke is kigan Hashem ke'eretz Mitzrayim. It was the wealthiest place in the world. Sidoim va'amoira. And what happened to them? They were wiped off the face of the earth. So this is nothing different than what it says over here. Next, Yesharigas Devar Cheref. Shanigzar El Lechalas Hamam Zedim. Now this is a spooky thing, and it says this in the Gemara. Okay, this is a very, very bizarre thing. Let's say there are Mamzerim in this world. Who is going to discover them and remove them from Klal Yisrael? And the woman is Mizane. She's an Eshes Ish, and she has an affair with another man that's not her husband. And she gets pregnant, and the husband thinks that it's his child. And the child's really a mamzer. And that means when this child gets married, his children are mamzerim. And the mamzerus perpetuates for doyres. So there's a disease in Klal Yisrael. How are we going to know about this? So the Gemara says this. This is a very shocking thing. It's there's a special hashkacha that the Ribbono Shel Olam cleanses mamzerim from Klal Yisrael on his own through Churban. Okay, this is something which is very, very spooky, which we don't want us to talk about. Yesh harigas dever. There are times in this world when there's a plague, a cheref, or mass death. Shaloi nigzar ella. The only reason why it's happening as ella lechalis hamamzerim. The Ribbono Shel Olam is acting in order to cleanse mamzerim. Chodesh shelo levaisham. In order they should not be embarrassed. Because if the technology will eventually, it's a given, we know it today to be true already. The technology is coming, Rabbi Sai, where you can, don't even blood anymore, saliva. You take a Q-tip and you put it on your tongue and you go and you put it in a machine. You don't even have to touch the machine. A smartphone just will scan the Q-tip. Even now, you may put your fingerprints on it, and they will tell you your yichus all the way back to Adam HaRishon. It's going to happen, Rabbi Yisai. It's almost there. The technology is there. Okay, you do a blood test, saliva. You take a little piece of DNA. You'll be able to go get a printed, detailed report who your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, all your cousins, all the way back to Maase Bereishis, and how every single person is related with someone else. Okay, am I making up stories here? I'm not making up stories. The technology already is already kamat already there. The technology. So what's going to happen? There are going to be a lot of people that are going to be very embarrassed because they're going to discover they're not Kohanim or they're not Levian. Some people will be pleasantly surprised. I'm a Kohen. I can do Avoy in the Beis Hamikdash. Some people are going to be very disturbed that they're a mamzer. Where are they going to hide now? A mamzer? I come from Philip Mamzerim? So the Ribbono Shel Olam, he sees the 21st century. He sees what would have happened in the 21st century when the technology develops to a point where there'll be a discovery of your yichus. And in order to spare the enormous, infinite shame, he does something which only Hashem can do, which we have no understanding of how he can do this. He brings premature death to people in this world in order to stop it from continuing. There should not be this busha. Now, if I would say this, you would throw me out of here. But I'm not saying this. This is what it says here in the Sefer Chassidim. I told you, this book would be censored only 1,000 times over. That's why it's so good to learn. Right, that's where all the fun is. If you want to become a bestseller, you have to get your book banned. If your book is banned, then you're guaranteed to have a bestseller, and each book is priceless. Go on auction for thousands of dollars. Yesh harigas dever chazam mamzerim chadesh lo lilvayshan shem lo yamusu rak hamamzerim hoyenoida. If only the mamzer. Now he's saying even more shocking. Not only do the mamzerim have to die, everyone has to die in order not to embarrass them. That's what they say by a mulchama. By a mulchama, why it says who goes home from war? Four people. If you built a new house, you bought a new vineyard, or you got married, or you have averos. You don't have to go home. You have averos, so go home. Don't fight. Just because you got married, you get to go home? Just because you built a new house, you get to go home. You bought a new vineyard, you get to go home? So what did Chazal say? You don't get to go home. We're only letting you go home in order not to embarrass the person who did an avera. A person did an avera, and he's afraid that because of my avera, I'm going to not have protection from the Ribbono Shel Olam in Mulchama, and I'm going to die. And by me dying, I'm going to cause other people to die. So therefore, I don't want to go to war because of my averos. But I'm embarrassed. I make believe I'm a tzaddik. I come, I shuckle, I put on a black hat, tzitzis and payas, I learn the daf yomi. I'm a very honorable person in the community. I don't want people, I'm embarrassed. In order that he should not be embarrassed, we cover up for him, and we have a general general release. All these, so when people are walking home, no one knows why you're walking home. People think, oh, he bought a new house, he got married, he has a vineyard, no one knows. We want to, the Torah is so makbid to protect the dignity of man. It's such a Musar Haskel. If the Torah is so makbid to protect our dignity, don't you think we should have dignity? I don't think we ever live in a generation we have less dignity than we had before. Man has no dignity. It's just like, you know, everything's a joke. Everything is a joke. Nothing has any meaning. A wedding is a joke. A funeral is a joke. This bar mitzvah is a joke. Davening is a joke. Nothing today has any meaning. A journal of a yeshiva dinner is a joke. Everything's a joke. Everything's a joke. All right, there's no dignity anymore. There's no dignity. I went to a dinner. So what does the guest of honor, guest of honor say on the video? They said, why did you accept this honor? They threatened me with physical harm. that's what he said on the video. And he was interviewed for an, it's not his fault, by the way. He was interviewed for an hour to collect a 10 second clip. And the yeshiva selected that 10 second because that's what people want to hear. And I asked the executive, one of the people who work, I said to him, tell me, 10 years, I said, 15 years ago, twice, I said, 20 years ago, would you ever fathom of taking that clip on the yeshiva video? He said to me, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, would we ever fathom of selecting that statement and presenting it in front of 1,000 people? What are you asking about 20 years ago, even 10 years ago? It's a new generation. That's what people want to hear. That's the frame of mind that we're in. You go with the times. You have to be light and loose, and that's so. If the Torah is so makbid on our dignity that a person should not be embarrassed, ad kidei kach that Hashem brings death upon a generation in order to hide the dignity of a couple of mamzerim. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets the whole army go home, everyone here go home, because one guy did an Avera, I don't want to embarrass him. So look how makbid Hashem is on our dignity. If Hashem is so makbid on our dignity, don't you think we should be makbid on our own dignity and make life dignified instead of having life just turn into a big joke? It's a very frightening thing. Okay, so this is what he's trying to go. Let's go further. Hoya noidel hoya hamishbacha mispayeshes mibnei cherva mibnei chaverta. V'yoid, because of what happened to one of their members. V'yoid yeshariga lefish avos hakashenim lo also suyeg ledavar. Other times Hashem punished because the avos, the previous generation, did not do something they should have done. Uchsev b'makom asher tishochet ha'ila tishochet achatos. So what does that mean? The place where tishochet ha'ila. So what does that mean exactly? The place where tishochet ha'oila, tishochet ha'chatos.
No one knows which korban is giving over there.
Oh, that's right. Another example. Is the one who brings a korban oila, is a beautiful gift. The one who brings the korban chatos, he's embarrassed. Cover up his embarrassment. No one should know why you're bringing a korban. People should think you bring a carbon oila. In the same place where there is, he's saying this is a new interpretation of the pasuk, is that we cover up for the rishoyim by having them associate with the tzaddikim in order not to embarrass them. Another reason why Kodesh Baruch Hu brings punishment is because they should not live together. When you was a shutif with Achazyahu, you should not have done that. He was a Rasha, you're a tzaddik. Poras Hashem es ma'asech, Hashem destroyed your actions and you lost the battle. V'zeu yesh nisbeh b'loy mish, that's why people's nisbeh, he's gathered in prematurely. In other words, association. Sometimes when you are associated with the wrong people, then you suffer. If you have a bank account, and in the money, in the bank account, 99% of the money is good, solid money, but in that account is $1 that's gezel, that $1 of gezel can poison the entire account. And all the money can be frozen, can be lost. Part of the money that you're getting is gezel, even the most is good money. The connection, this chabrus in Shemayim, we don't know how these things work, can cause all of the money to be affected. It's contagious. The disease is contagious in money, in who you associate with, in who, what generation you're living with, who you're affiliated with. And sometimes it's because of the disease that it destroys. Sometimes in order, Hashem has his ways that we do not understand. Hashem does not want to put to shame certain people. So being that you're all together, together, and everyone suffers, it covers up for the shame of the people that covers up for their shame. And why did the good people have to suffer? We'll never know. Tzadik v'raloi. But that's at least what he says. It's a teeny mashahu of this massive equation of what it's all about. This principle called tzadik v'raloi. Okay, we'll stop over here. Take a short break, and then we're going to talk about Tehillim and Nishmas. Nishmas Kol Chai and Tehillim.